Hi, this is Katrina with Zooming in the Lens podcast, practicing the art of discovery and sharing, not from what it is, but from what it's like, in real time, from this time, on my yogic path to the don't know mind.
There's a certain wound that we get as men, partly because we do not get the father we want. James Hillman said, you know, every father comes into the world with a certain way that he wants to father. And every son comes into the world with a certain way that he wants to be fathered. And what if they don't match? I wanted a really companionable father. I wanted a funny father. I wanted a father who was sort of excitable and enthusiastic and would carry me up into high laughters and into wild plots, and an Irish father, in a way. But what I got was a father who was a serious, determined, taught that there were certain bounds one couldn't go across, period. And a lot of the rest of it was silence. So I began to try to do, because our disappointment is so big when we don't get the father we want, that I simply never mentioned him in poems at all. I didn't even want to go into that disappointment. Does that make any sense to you?
Hi, everybody. It's Katrina from Zooming in the Lens, and I have two very special people with me today, Tommy Stewart and Adam Elzaru. Just love saying that name. I feel like Dr. Seuss. Elzaru. Both musicians. Tommy's a drummer, among other things, and Adam's a bass player, among other things.
Yeah.
You all know about my sordid past in the music industry, so we have that in common, but the one thing I don't have in common with them is that they're men. They are men. Man. Although, as a child, I had recurring dreams of being a man. But I don't think that that meant anything other than some sort of subconscious lack of connection that I probably had with my father at some point in my life. So I wanted us to get together to really just simply throw out that word, man, and talk about, you know, Adam and I in particular have gotten into many conversations about things that I've said to him, like, I wouldn't want to be a man today. And it made him ask me why, and we went into this whole thing. I've had many conversations with Tommy about that. And we started to talk about expectations, like, of people on men today. And our curiosity sort of led us to wonder how that's changed since, you know, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and how we get to this place. So really just the topic is being a man. And, of course, that's going to lead us to other things. For me, it led to a man that I love that was a poet, among many other things. I think a philosopher, really deep thinker. And he dabbled in a lot of ways in which to help us understand the man through mythology and storytelling. His name is Robert Bly. So I'll make sure to give everybody the codes of, like, where they can go and check that sort of stuff out. But, you know, the myth, right? And I read this great explanation that the word mythology now means something that's false, like a story. But the origination of the word myth, which was mythologhos, meant truth. So I was thinking about the myth of man, which has been talked about, you know, by philosophers for forever and ever. There's great stuff out there about it. And I remember that the myth of man to me, in my family, when I was growing up, I had a very overpowering, dominating Sicilian father. And even though I got him in his later years, and I'm not sure if he had anything to do with this belief system, it might have been more my mother and having three older sisters. But growing up, when I started like thinking about boys, you know, whatever age, 12, 13, the consensus was with everybody. It wasn't just me and my family. It was in school. It was all girls. It was TV shows. Was that a man is supposed to be able to take care of a woman. A man is supposed to be able to earn a living. If the woman decides to work and wants to work, that's okay. But women respect men that are able to take care of women. And there were so many expectations of men that I think that as a culture, at least my age group, even subliminally got sexually attracted to certain men based on at least our terminology of myth being false, based on myth. That, you know, I remember going on dates and my mother saying, like, oh, he's pulling up in that car, or what does he do for a living, what's his family like, what does his father do for a living?
What does he do for a living at age 14?
Yeah. Oh, I could tell you stories that would make your head spin. And my mother would, you know, put lipstick on and make sure you act like a lady. And, you know, obviously she was just doing her thing, trying to guide me in the best way, you know, that she could. But the myth of a man in my day, and I do not think that it's gone, is that they're supposed to be these strong, almost controlling, and that strength isn't about crying. Strength is about being controlling. But now, it has shifted so much that we're holding on to that myth and adding to that myth that a real man does cry. And that women can get insulted if a man tries to pay for the whole check. But then when he takes the money, then she doesn't respect him. So, like, there's all these hidden rules. And I don't know how the hell you guys would ever be able to know what those rules are, because they're not written down anywhere. It's so, like, a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
When you're also trying to reverse tens of thousands of years of reptilian DNA in the man's brain about his role in that relationship with a woman, a man and woman.
Hasn't it always kind of been that way, almost?
It hasn't, actually. That's what's interesting. Egyptian times, men and women were equal. And men and women did, they both earned money. Instead of calling it marriage, they sort of called it like a contract. And women were entitled to everything that a man was entitled to. And there were roles, like duties, that each role had. But, you know, Robert Bly in particular, the reason why I dig his work on this sort of stuff, a psychiatrist named James Hillman and him, which is sort of Jungian. James Hillman sort of goes from the whole Jungian psychology. But they have really great theories about how men are not learning to devolve. And, I mean, these are from lectures that were taken from the 80s, so I think it's only kind of gotten worse since then. You know that saying of it takes a village? I'll read you some of the stuff that Robert Bly at least speaks about in this. It's called On Being a Man. And it was him, Robert Bly, and a gentleman named Michael Mead. And he was a great storyteller. And he talks about how the predicament men are in now is the first time that men have been in this predicament. And it has a lot to do with the father-son relationship, or lack thereof, because it's the first time in 5,000 years that men had to leave their house to go to work. So I think he's talking like Industrial Revolution, like 140 years ago. It required the fathers, the men, to go outside of the house to work. And it had a lot of effects, according to Robert Bly's theory, because when the men were working, whether it was at home, I don't know if he means just literally working at home, but when there was a village and men would go off to work, they would take their sons. And he's not even talking about learning a trade. He's talking about almost this cellular connection by that you can get by working with your father at a very young age, like really young age, that you receive something from your father. And he describes it as, we're in the mother's womb for 9 months, and so we get attuned to female energy. And then when we come out, being a boy, you then need to reattune to the male energy. So what was almost ritualistic back in the day was the son being around the father a lot to retune the masculine energy. And then you would have both masculine and feminine energy. Somewhere along the line there's different points in men's lives, according to this, that you need to retune. So like he almost called it like a frequency of an adult male body. And that's what makes a responsible male. I'm assuming a balanced male of male-female energy. He even went so far as to talk about that he doesn't think there's a drug problem. He thinks that it's not even an absent father or a father that works all the time but comes home. But what I at least think is quality of time.
Yeah.
And what you can get from elders. Now, if you don't have a father, he's simply talking about us looking to older men, like look at tribal ritualistic situations where they, you know, initiate you into manhood. So I know I'm like fast forwarding, but I wanted to get us on a topic of what does it feel like to be a man? Do you guys feel any of this now? And what does it make you feel like? And I'm going to play a sound clip, too, that is pretty short. But it's Robert Bly sort of insinuating that the holes that men go on trying to fill in their life is because of this lack of connection with the father or the father figure or the older man. And that men have this wound because they didn't really get the kind of father that they wanted or they felt that they needed. So that prevailing all men is this myth of disappointment. And so the devolving I was speaking of was, it has become almost impossible. You grow up now, and right away, you're expected to do this, 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 and this. You're having all the responsibility that's perceived by women of what makes a great dude, you know, what makes a great husband, or what makes a great father.
Whatever that might be. Yeah.
Whatever that might be, exactly. But now, you're also getting the confusing part of But men should be spiritual, and men should be able to have deep conversations, and men should be able to listen to women when they talk. And if you don't, you're called like a caveman. And like, there's, to me, it feels like if I was a man now, I wouldn't know. They call it metrosexual, right? The man that can, you know, care about the way he looks, but and play pool and drink beer and be a dude's dude, but can also like hang out with women and do facials and go for, you know, like I'm exaggerating the point, but how does the male identity come to be now if we're not having this connection? If the man isn't having the cellular connection with the father, the fighting is normal. Like every boy has arguments with his father or doesn't get along with his father, but where are the other male influences, the elders, the village? So he claims that the result of that is the isolation of men. And how many men now don't do soul work with other men?
Very interesting.
Well, again, Not again. For the first time, actually, because I'm in my head. It was again because I had this response already played back to a few times. I think it all starts with our place in society, a man's role, a woman's role, wherever that started, how long ago. I think as soon as the suppression of women came into be, in any number of times and religious thought and ideologies, I think that kind of changed everything. Because now, all the things that you're talking about, the man is supposed to do this, this, and this, but it also comes with that, that's because the woman can't do this, this, and this. And you're just passing that on from generation to generation, and you come to find out 1,000 years later, thousands of years later, now we're in a different time where women are stronger, and there actually can be a lot of matriarchs out there. A lot of families can be matriarchal in that way, where the woman raises the family. Yeah. And I think we're in a transition period at this point. I don't think for a long time we cohesively, man and woman, worked together unless it was based on necessity, where, you know, obviously one wasn't strong enough to go tear this tree down, and a man was, and they had to stay home with the kids because somebody had to raise the kids, so the guy had to go out and work. Mm-hmm. But things have changed now. I think we're transitioning into a different role, and I think that's where the confusion is.
Definitely seems like in our society it's like that, but some parts of the world it seems like it still does have that old foundation still, where you do have the men who have to go out and do the hard work. In third world countries, I guess, women don't have the same rights. So they kind of still have that. But out here, it definitely is a lot different, so...
And that was Adam talking, and before that, that was Tommy talking, just so if somebody, because they can't see us, so they have no idea who's talking when. But I'm definitely not Tommy or Adam, at least we know that. Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, personal examples, like it took me, you know, to get into my 30s before I even questioned. I mean, any women listening to this, if they don't feel this way, that's fine, but they have to at least know about the prevailing myth of if you're looking for somebody to date, you want somebody that, it's almost like there's this secret code of women's sexuality towards men having to do with respecting their productivity.
A man that could kind of hold his own.
Yeah. And I think it's so much pressure for a man to have to think that he has to be all of these things. It takes away any individuality of a man whatsoever. Like, you're just supposed to be like everybody. Yeah, Robert Bly talks about the passive man, which... I wasn't really insinuating the passive man, but the way he described the passive man was more about how after the Industrial Revolution, when men would go outside of the home to work, up till now, the businessman goes to work for a corporation, and the corporation has rules and has bosses, and they tell you what sort of suits to get. Society is raising the man.
Yeah.
Corporations are raising the man. And so he's calling that the passive man.
And getting a false sense of what it means to be raised in general, then.
Yeah, and I think to speak to what you were saying, Tommy, about... What was it exactly? To speak to the different roles of men and women, and that women are, you know, since women's rights, you know, able to go out there, and we're still not getting paid as much as men. But I think we don't, as humans, we don't need to be fighting for rights as men and women when we realize that it does take a village. And that there is nothing wrong with each of us having things that we are responsible for. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't know if that exists in modern day, because there's so much going on. When you talk about before the Industrial Revolution, there was, you know, you worked on the farm, or you made a wheel, or you did something, right? And obviously, the man had the tool and he would make the thing, and then the woman would take care of the child.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you bring into all this technology, which makes our life so much faster and easier in some ways, but it also makes it much more difficult, because those roles are not clearly defined anymore.
Right.
And they kind of wash over each other as far as, and I think you're right. I think that having a responsibility for, you know, each sex at one time was, I mean, let's think about relationships in general, how it started. You needed both those people together to make it all work, because one could provide, you could actually spit out life,
mm-hmm.
and then you needed another one to protect and take care of that. So you had to have that unity to make life happen and continue.
It's sort of an honor, right? But like somewhere along the line, it shifted to be like, well, why am I stuck doing this? And well, I just stopped to pause.
And that seems like it's been kind of recent if you consider how many years the world has been around men and women walking hand in hand. Thousands and thousands of years it seemed to work kind of in the way Tommy was just describing.
Mm.
But now in the last, let's say, what, 60, 70, 80 years,
mm.
we seem to now be having that change towards, you know, one of them, woman, saying, well, why do I have to do that? I could go out and work and provide and do the same exact thing the man is doing. Why can't the man stay home and just take care of the kids? Why can't I have the career? And that's happening now.
And don't you think that that's completely okay?
I now, yeah, it's completely fine.
But if we lose the grounding, if we lose the anchor within ourselves, then we become about the roles.
Well, that's the thing. That's
and not
right.
the connection. That's what I feel right. like Robert Bly is saying, that if men don't have some sort of older male archetypal role model, biological or not, I don't know if we can handle what you guys are talking about, social media, technology, because then is that what is telling men to be men?
We're not handling it.
I think there's an extreme balance that there was for so long with men and women of how it worked, and it worked really well for so long. For it to be a change now, it's not that saying that women are not capable of doing something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something worked for so long because there was a balance. Men and women balance each other, which is like, I feel like, I personally believe that that's the reason why women and men were created together.
Mm.
There's a balance in that. So now we're trying to make this change, and does it really work? I mean, I guess we will see 50 years from now with this change, how it progresses, if this is something that will actually work. I guess we won't really know for sure. I mean, I really don't have the answer now. I don't really know.
Well, personally, you two, with your relationships with your fathers, or did you have any other elders? Because there was one culture I was reading about that the father didn't really initiate the son, because it was there was too much emotional attachment that it was left to the older villagers to initiate the son into manhood. This one quote that I had read that I just loved was, something has to die to be born, and what will have to die is the boy. So is there anybody that did that for you guys?
We're talking about like an initiation.
Yeah, like, I'll read you this story. This is a perfect... Yeah, no, it
didn't really happen that way.
A perfect story to read. This is James Hillman talking to... Did I lose it? I hope I didn't lose it. I might have lost it. He has such a great example. I hate when that happens.
Well, from what I understand of the question, to be honest, I don't even feel like I've really even gone through that with my family yet.
Yet?
I still don't feel like, when I'm around my uncles and my dad, because I look at them like men when I see them, from what they've gone through and what they do. I feel like even they give me the vibe of, like, I haven't even reached that level yet. But they come from a different part of the world.
If anything, they're more connected to that part of the world, though.
Because
you have rituals.
Well, I'm first generation born here in this country. So for them, they still have a lot of that rooted back home, from what they call back home. So I don't feel in my family like I've even really become, in their eyes, a man yet, really. A man yet. I don't even know what that really is coming from them.
Have you ever thought to ask?
It's weird, and to be honest, it's kind of funny. I think they would just laugh at me. I think it's just something that you see it. I see how my father and my uncles and the other men of cousins and stuff, that how they react and how they talk to each other. I see men talking to each other. But once I come into this conversation, the way they talk to me and the way they react to what it is that I'm saying, it's not the same. There's a different thing. I think it's eventually one day when I have kids, because I don't have kids, but when I do and I provide for a whole family, that to them is now they see a true man. But to me, they still see a child. I still have hobbies for them. I'm a bass player. I'm a musician. To them, it's not a real true job. I work for my father. I take care of the business, but I haven't really yet taken it over. I'm 28. I'm not even 30 years old yet. So in their eyes, I'm not a true man yet. Whatever that definition
is. What about in your eyes?
In my eyes, I do feel like I'm a man. I do feel like I'm a man. But I'm saying for them, it's just different parts of the world. They have a different definition of what a man really is.
So their initiation is procreation.
Well, not really, because my brother has two kids. But they treat him the same. He's very young. He's 5 years younger than I am, and he has two kids. So I don't know
if initiated, it has nothing to do with the way they treat you. It's more of... like, maybe that's just their roles.
Maybe just the way of them showing love, I guess, in certain ways. I really don't know.
But what today makes a man feel initiated? I did find the story, and it's Bill Moyers interviewing Robert Bly. And Bill Moyers says, yeah, in fact, some of the traditional cultures, a knight arrives, and a group of men show up at a boy's house, and they take him away from the home, and they don't bring him back for several days. And then when he comes back, he has ashes on his face. And Robert Bly says, yeah, in New Guinea, where they still do it today, the men come in with spears to get the boys. The boys know nothing about the men's world. They live with their mother completely. They say, you know, mama, mama, save us from these men that are coming here. Now, all over New Guinea, the women accept and the men accept one thing. A boy cannot be made into a man without the active intervention of the older man or men. Now, when they all accept that, then the woman's job is to be participants in this drama. So the men come and take the boys away, and the boys are saying, save me, mama, you know. Then they go across, and the men have built a tent on this island that they have a house for the boys, like an initiation hut. Then they take them across the bridge, and three or four of the women whose boys these are, get their spears and meet them on the bridge. And the old men have their spears. And the boys are saying, save me, mama, save me. These are horrible men. They're taking me away, you know. And they fight and everything. And then the women are driven back. Then the women all go back and have coffee and say, how'd you do? How do I do? How do I look? You know, he's sort of just being funny right here. So that wonderful participation in it, the women are not doing the initiating. They're participating. And then, as you said, then he'll stay with the men for a year, maybe. Then they will explain to him something has to die to be born. And what will have to die is the boy. This is what isn't happening to men in this culture.
Definitely not.
No, yeah. It's not. And that's because of the, I think, because of, well, it's definitely different over cultural lines for sure. But here, there's no opportunity for that because...
Or are we just not taking it?
Well, you're going to take it, but only not to that. I mean, we don't live in a tribe in New Guinea. We live in America in 2016.
In a tribe?
Well,
a very different tribe.
Yeah.
Definitely not walking around with spears, though.
No, but I mean, think about myth, you know?
Yeah.
Think about the mythos of this whole situation here. Like, is our initiations now the first time you have sex? The first time you have a child?
But does that really make a man, though?
Well, right. Who knows?
There is no ritual like that now. And I'm thinking about both me and my dad.
Yeah.
And there is none of that. All there is was by the time he's, you know, 40 years old, he's got four kids and he's got to work a job that he really doesn't like to provide for all of his kids. And that's the ritual. And that keeps going and going and going. And it can only ramp up and get faster downhill, I feel, because there's just too much going on now. There's too much going on. And like the conversation we were having earlier, Adam said, I don't know how you're able to parent these days with all the distractions and the things and the gadgets and the gizmos and the lights and the bells and the whistles. How do you take a child's focus off of everything in the world that they have at their fingertips in a split second to explain...
To raise a woman and to raise a man.
To explain some sort of ritualistic upbringing like that.
It doesn't have to be explained. It just...
Or
it would be
to do it.
Part of... Yeah, it would be part of a connection. Like, how are we suffering because of the lack of this cellular transmission between father and son?
Tremendously. And you were reading that whole thing that about, he was talking about this tribe in New Guinea. I had seen this quote earlier that I found was really hilarious. And I think somebody had asked the question of what's a man's role in society these days. And this person sarcastically answered, to be an emasculated, insecure, self-doubting, anxious, competitive workaholic.
Oh, wow. Man. So that's basically exactly what Robert Bly is talking about. He says, men now face life alone.
Yes.
With no rituals, no male societies,
nope.
And isolation.
Yeah.
So what if...
While still trying to cling on and hang on to those very things that men are supposed to be doing
right.
For thousands of years. How the hell do you do that?
How the hell do you do that? What does that make you feel like, though? I mean,
there's almost a lack of respect now. I'm not saying with everybody, but a lack of respect for women, and also a lack of respect for men. I think that was a lot to do with, I mean, it's almost might sound off, but the way women dress nowadays, especially with young girls, you have girls now at 9, 10 years old walking around with shorts so short you could barely, you know, you could pretty much see their butt crack.
Mm-hmm.
And for men for boys at such a young age, with social media and everything else that you could see now on the internet and everything else, I think that also could have a big play in with the way women and men are really seen now, especially when we get older, from what we see at such a young age with what we have going around us now. It's just, there's almost no difference between woman and man. There's nothing there.
Well, you know, and it also, I hear you without a doubt.
There's no sense of ourselves.
Nothing.
I'm thinking about how you're supposed to, and what a loss it would be if I were a man, what a loss it would be for me to not have some sort of connection with men or tribe, or like, is it so to the point now where you all feel just like a little island unto yourself, and that nothing else really matters but your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your dog? Or like, have we gotten so narcissistic and closed off as a result of this lack of sort of, you know, transmission of the masculine and feminine balanced?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, an example I can think of is, yes, the answer is yes for me, because what you think about the, what did you say, you know, the tribe getting in there and doing these things as men. Like, I can think of, you know, touring and being out on a festival, being out in Ozfest, and it was the most boring 15 hours of the day. It was just horrible because all the conversations were invariably so ridiculously simple, and I had no interest in, you know, like, what are you doing now? And what about that girl last night? And I just, it's so,
there's no real conversation.
No. So that, to me, like, that's the group of men getting together, having this thing for 2.5 months, right? Almost like a mini retreat, but what's happening on that retreat isn't geared towards discovering who you are as a person or a man. It's all based on
stupid,
you know, I mean, you both know, ridiculous nonsense.
Well, I think what I liked about what Robert Bly said is, it's not what your father's teaching you when he's teaching you how to make shoes or, you know, plow the field. It's the actual physicality of being nearby.
The male camaraderie.
Yeah, and literally physically being, you don't need words. This transmission of...
You think that's enough, though? I don't think it's enough.
Well,
I think it's what's being transmitted that's important.
I think it could be an anchor to then, you know, bounce off of as an individual, because nobody's looking to make men all the same, at least I'm not. But if you don't have that initiation or that transmission, and I'm not insinuating that by initiation it's a one-time event. I don't know. I think all different traditions and all different people have all different things. But it seems to me now that it's like the pink elephant in the room, that nobody's discussing this, I guess, lack of this hole that men could be feeling, that maybe they don't even know they're feeling. And so what it gets replaced with is drugs or, you know, aggression or a longing, or I'll have a kid and I'll do exactly the opposite of what my father did. And like, maybe it's escalating this external search, because we're not getting this transmission that, you know, even rituals bring. And even in religion, which I know, Adam, you experience, that is a ritual. It's not that they have to say anything that you even, you know, go, yeah, that's exactly how I feel. It's just, you're sharing. There's a share involved. But when you look at somebody like, you know, what I know about Tommy's life, there's not even a recognition of male, you know, tribal ritualistic things. And I can see how we then start dividing it between, you know, extroverts and introverts, because we have nowhere else to go with it. So we start describing everybody as, you know, personality traits. But I think it's so much deeper than a personality trait. And I think everything should evolve. I mean, the relationship between men and women should evolve, women's relationships with women, men's relationships with women, and sometimes socially and politically that it drives us to have to change, which is, you know, the example of the Industrial Revolution. But he talks about how men have always been loved for their activity in so many cultures, like hunting and feeding was one choice, or, you know, going into the woods and becoming a shaman was another choice. But now that we're not cultivating the balance of the warrior in a ritualistic sense, or, you know, feeling that unspoken bond with other elder men, I think, how could you guys make sense of what you're doing? Or do you just not think about that and just, I have to have a job, I have to have money, I really like to do this, so I'm going to do everything I can to do this. Like, do you feel this lack of, when I read you a story like that, do you think, wow, that would be really cool to be in a society where elder men, I can really count on them, not what they're saying, but I watch.
I think it's very exciting. Sounds exciting to me.
Yeah, if we could
go back to those kinds of times.
Yeah. Anytime you can strip down all the bullshit that's in a satellite around your brain, I think that's a good...
Yeah. I've been always so fascinated with that. You know, how they lived back in those days. It seems like things were just so much more simple.
Yeah.
I could just see how being a man then was easy. You just knew what you had to do. You were a warrior. You were a hunter. You were a builder. A woman's job. She was a mother, a nurturer. You know, we don't really have that simplicity like Tommy was saying earlier. There's like almost no such thing as that anymore.
Well, what if our desires and our passions, what we're calling our passions, aren't really passions? They're ways to connect. Here, listen to this. Where is it? Well, we're not together today. Hopefully you can hear this.
And they try to retune their bodies. I mean, what you see in rock musicians are men trying to retune their bodies by tuning them to each other. It doesn't work very well. But you can see, and gangs are trying to do that. So young men are trying to learn masculinity from each other. But from the ancient point of view, that doesn't work. You can't learn anything from people your own age. And in any case, the ones that have the intense sense of the masculine in its joyful aspect, not in its domineering or pentagon aspect, in Australia, for example, are the old men, the Aborigines. And they spend something like 67% of their time, the traditional old men, in working with mythological material, which is primarily with the boys. So the boys are suffering from a starvation then. You can call it father energy or you can call it older man energy. Either way, there's a father hunger. There's an old man hunger. That's tremendous.
What does that mean to you guys?
I mean, just what we were talking about. That's a good point, that we're essentially people raising ourselves by our peers and not our elders.
Yeah.
And now it's even way worse because there's, you know, 10,000 of your peers on the face of the screen of your phone.
Yeah.
Looking like or doing whatever it is that they're doing.
It's just
nothing real there. And there's no real life experience in that either. It's just virtual experience.
What do you think would be different if we did have more of an understanding
different? What do you mean? In what way?
Could you imagine what might change in your lives now?
If we didn't have all the things that we have now?
If we had that connection with elders.
Yeah, I have no concept of that because I was not raised in anything like that. There's no cultural sort of thing that would have tied that all together for me, and I think that's why you know this about me. I'm just fend for myself and take care of me, and that's not that I didn't have loving parents, although they weren't together. But I wasn't suffering from not having love. I don't know, whatever message I got was self-reliance, I guess.
Well,
I think that makes me essentially isolated.
Right.
And we've discovered that.
Isolated and until recently, kind of a little bit maybe unaware of a deep desire.
Right.
As a man, to, you know, feel an anchor to almost like a ritualistic man's club. And obviously, I would, if I were a man and I was looking at what is, you know, quote unquote, a ritualistic man thing today, I wouldn't want to do it either. Because that consists of like a bar and getting drunk or going to Vegas or going to a strip club. And I don't particularly think that any of the things that I've read in regard to the rituals of tribes, they weren't going out and saying, let us tell you the, you know, history of man. They weren't like sitting down and having deep conversations. Now there are, and probably have been, you know, Robert Bly was a part of this big men's movement, and they would have men workshops and retreats, and they're still going on today because they sensed that there was this lack of male connectivity. So then it makes you like, I gotta fend for myself.
Well, there's also in those examples of like the tribes in New Guinea and in the past and things, like there's also no sense of personal judgment in it either. So even if a kid were to go to work with his father now, right, let's say here, and let's say his father, you know, I don't know, he works at a restaurant or something where he's a cook. Even if a kid goes with his father just to be with him, like you first mentioned a while ago, there's still the judgment that the kid can form about what everybody else is doing and how cool or uncool that seems to him. There was no judgment, and there was no personal sort of idea about anything else because that's all there was. So as soon as everything opened up, now how cool is it that I'm going with my father to do this job when this 12-year-old kid over here is a superstar on YouTube or something? I mean, how do you reconcile that? How do you find respect for your elder there when you're being lured by all of this glitzy stuff over here? I don't know.
That is crazy. That makes so much sense, too. Yeah.
You know, there's situations out there where, you know, there's a lot of single mothers that don't, the father's not present or the father passed away. I think, and I've not heard this, this is just me, my personal opinion, that it doesn't take an actual male. It could be somebody who's practicing balance within themselves.
Or being outsourced, Adam.
Being outsourced, right. Because there's just some situations out there that don't have that, and it's not particularly the safest thing in the world to go, I want an elder male when you're, you know, a 5-year-old kid or a 10-year-old kid when you're growing up with a single mom. Like, it's a dangerous situation out there now because of, you know, social media and the internet and stuff like that. But
well, maybe that's the way things will go in society. There will be less male, female, and will just become
androgynous
sort of species.
Sure. There still has to be an anchor in androgyny, though.
Yeah, right. But not in the sort of historical understanding that we have mm-hmm. of man and woman.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe we just become this new being that already embodies at least the little parts of both of those things and not all the way swinging to one side or the other.
Yeah.
Men are just going to get weaker and weaker, and women are going to get stronger and stronger.
And we'll meet in the middle.
And we'll somehow just meet in the middle, and it won't even matter anymore. With the way technology is going now with drones and everything else, you don't even need a warrior anymore. Men don't even need to fight in wars anymore. Men don't need to chop down anything anymore. We have machines to do it for us. Now they're creating robots to do
That's a good point.
Heavy lifting. I mean, think about it. I mean, if we evolve as humans, mm-hmm. we evolve. Like Tommy just said, it's so true. Mm-hmm. I think that is going to happen probably eventually. If it continues this way and we still succeed in technology like we are, there is no need for man anymore. This world could be run just by females. All you need from the men is the sperm. You get to keep it moving. That's really all it is.
Well, and we could stop and talk about it as long as we want. Right. I mean,
and then stopping at multiple
places.
Right, and then bag on the other girl's pair of shoes that she's wearing too.
Wow.
Well,
you know, cultures like religions and Judaism in particular. Bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs, and those are technically, initiations. And
that's true.
Catholics, have.
So what is that, quinceañera, or
Yes.
Is that Catholicism, or is that just
I don't actually
Hispanic
know.
Tradition.
I think it's the Hispanic tradition, but I don't know if it's rooted in religion or not. I think it's more rooted.
But that's for women, though.
It is for women. Yeah. I do think that we have opportunities for rituals. Like, look what we're doing here. Mm. This is, to me, very ritualistic and very sacred. I think that you're right. The evolution of it could be great. The consciousness of it. Yeah, like, it could be great.
It could be great.
But I think consciousness has to evolve with it.
I don't see anything great with it at all, but yes.
Oh, all of us moving into that one place that you talked about? That's what I'm saying.
A place of just men dissipating from the world?
No, but I took it more like you meant unity.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean it that way exactly, but you see it that way. And that is great.
Because we all have male and female in us.
Yeah.
It depends on the unity. Is it some sort of spiritual awakening that comes across the whole thing? That would be great. Otherwise, we're just blobs with thumbs moving around.
I think it's a bad thing. We lose the human nature of ourselves. We really do. I mean, I'm just speaking here in this society, too.
Right?
We're not speaking of the whole world right now.
No.
I feel like we're really just talking about
America.
Well, not just America, but yes, the West. We're not really seeing. See, we're not talking about what's going on in the whole world.
Right.
But I think if we really went in that direction, I see it as a bad thing. I don't even see it as unity. I see it as a very sad, depressing world. I do. I kind of see it just now. You kind of get the sense of it, of like where it's going. It's just almost you get the feeling of people are trying to play God. And it's sad. You see it everywhere. I think it's just sad. We're really losing the sense of ourselves, of what humanity really, really is.
Which is what?
Like we were talking about the balance of man and woman. And you're talking about the industrialization, all that, how things have changed so much. And we're talking about such a small amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really small amount of time compared. I mean, that's what flips me out the most.
Well, doesn't everybody have their own choice here? Like, what if...
No, we don't, though. We don't.
Why not?
Because we live in such, huge... Well, I mean, do we really have a choice?
I mean, why can't you go do soul work?
You can go live in the woods of Pennsylvania and...
Why can't you do what you're doing right now and do soul work? Why can't men just go, you know what? I'm sick of going to bars and, you know, giving each other wedgies as a bonding thing. And, like, yeah, I mean, and obviously not every guy out there is doing me, it. But
in order for you to make a living and truly support a family nowadays, you can't just go buy a house in the middle of the woods and really do that.
No, I say do it from where you are. Everybody in this culture, right here, let's just talk about L.A. because that's where we are. Why can't men do their day jobs and at the same time understand that they want to cultivate something outside of just that ritual of earning money and taking care of things and being able to pay your bills? Each one of us have a choice. You do. You have a choice to say, I'm going to call a bunch of guys or find a bunch of guys that I don't know.
Much easier said than done.
Well, I was going to say, how much time do you have to take to have that take hold?
And that's another thing right now with what the time is now with the, you know, 9 to 5 or whatever it is that people work nowadays. I mean, you don't have time in order to pay your bills and do all the things that we're talking about.
I don't think we don't have time to not do it. Because what kind of quality of life is there going to be?
Well, that's what we're dealing with.
If somebody's not actually doing it. And, like, according to Robert Bly, he said you can't learn this sort of stuff from peers your own age. So the first idea that I had was guys your age, and you two are in different age groups, but guys your age, you know, volunteering at an old age home. And going and hanging out with older men.
Or hanging out and being around your elders more, like me. Making the choice of being around my uncles and my father more. Learning from them as much as I possibly can. Which, you're right, is something that I should be doing. But time's always kind of an issue. But I have no excuses.
No, I don't think any of us do. I mean, I even know, you know, Olivia, who everybody on Zoom and Lens sort of knows. Mm-hmm. Her and I were talking months ago about having a satsang with women, and so then we actually did it, and then we actually went overnight to my Chumash friends, to the Indian I'm losing my words today, man. Anyway, and we did a whole girls thing overnight. I can't tell you how great I felt. It didn't matter what we talked about. It didn't matter what we were doing. And by the way, we were doing nothing. That transmission that Robert Bly is speaking of, I don't think it even takes, I'll go so far as to say, I don't think it even takes humans to be around you. And what I mean by that is that land, the Chumash land we were on, is thousands of years old of elders, men and women. And while we were there with physical human alive now women, there is knowledge in a wisdom sort of sense that is floating around us at all times. And being around women that are alive and in human flesh right now helped me tap into the unseen. So maybe going to church or temple or a mosque or wherever it is that you do go anyway, if there's some consciousness brought to it that it's not just what you see, but it's also what you can't see, that is, we could download from. And I know that sounds like really woo-woo, but I don't think that we're all just coming up with great ideas from the air. I think that we are all extensions of where we came from, and we can pull from that at any time. If we listen to this isolation bug, I hate social media. I hate the new music out today. I can't stand what the kids are wearing. There's a reason why the joke is like, I sound like my parents. Why would we want to repeat that? Why would we not want to take this opportunity to say, okay, Tommy's now saying he's in isolation. Adam's now saying, I should make time because I actually have elders. It starts there. It just starts there. You two know each other. You're an elder to Adam. It doesn't take, you know, genetics to make a village and a tribe. But it's what has happened and what could have happened now because we lost that anchor, that ability to use myth, the mythos of storytelling and what it's like, not what it is that men have had to like harden almost. And that separates you, not just from us, which is what women really want. We want that connection from you. But it separates you from each other. Not the color of your skin, not the religion you believe in, not the pot you smoke or whatever, but you having the consciousness to say, you know, there's a lot of things available to me out there, and it may not be that I was born with a father or born with uncles and people that I could pull from, but there is community. And, you know, if we just keep blaming social media and all the rest of, you know, the things that are going to happen in evolution, we're as much of a part of that. And, you know, not that I'm going to sit here and divulge your personal business, Tommy, but we did recently have a surprise party for Tommy, and it was all dudes. And what came out of that was just absolutely incredible for you. And to witness it, I mean, obviously it wasn't all dudes because I was there witnessing it, but I sort of felt like that story. I was the female of the tribe, and I was there participating by helping to organize it and helping to be on the sidelines and gathering the food and taking care of things. And I have no resentment. I'm not sitting there going, oh, I want to be a part of this.
You had enjoyment in it.
It's an honor to hold space like that. Mm-hmm. And to watch him with other guy friends in the way that they express themselves in having that unity, and him sort of finding out that, you know, I really kind of do want that sort of feeling. In the mind will just say, I just want what I've always had, which is, this is what I've had, and I'm alone, and I'm an introvert, and yeah, a lot of people are plagued with those things to a place where they can't help it. But there, we don't have to move mountains, is what I'm saying. Rituals are right underneath you and right above you and on either side of you. Elders are all over. They don't have to be relatives. It doesn't have to be the same belief system. It has to start somewhere. Yeah. I mean, don't you guys feel pressure as men in this culture with the things that I've talked about of like, do you pay for a woman? Do you offer to pay for the dinner?
No, I don't.
Do you take the money if she offers?
No.
So what do you do?
Just pay. And that's not out of, I just think it's, and maybe it is sort of deep-seated thing, but I don't think that it's the man's job to pay. I just, for me, that's what I'm going to do.
Why?
In our case, it's different because it's, I mean, if I just met somebody for the first time, I don't know. I just think then that's probably part of, I don't even remember that I was taught that specifically, but I just feel like that's the right thing to do.
Right. Isn't that interesting?
And I didn't always feel that way. I can remember being, you know, half the age I'm now and getting caught up in other things and having that dilemma and not being saddled with it at that time. But now I look back and I think, Jesus, I just wouldn't let that happen now. I mean, I just wouldn't do it. I mean, that can come up in another conversation if you're gonna, you know, go out again or whatever it is, but initially I don't know if that would, it wouldn't even occur to me to do anything different.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with either one of them. It's just interesting that these things lay there.
Yeah.
Without even being questioned.
I mean, a man goes on a first date, he always has to pay, right? It's just a thing.
Because you know that the woman's looking at you like, oh yeah, my God, there's no way I'm going out with this guy again if he doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. That right there is something that has never changed until this day is still a thing. You go on a first date with a woman.
Yeah.
The man pays. And that is one thing that has never changed. So now are women just taking advantage of men?
See, I'm not sure. Or is that? Because the conversations going on behind are, you know, like say if you're really close to somebody and they said, you went out to dinner with him. Well, yeah, I offered to, you know, pay my part, which to me seems crazy, like to pay your part.
To pay your part. You're the payer.
Yeah. I mean, but what do I know, right?
You just split the bill.
Right. Yeah. And the media immediately. I witnessed this the other day. Two women talking about this, and immediately the friend said, "Well, he didn't take it, did he?" And she said, "No, no, he didn't take it. Like, no."
What's up, saying?
Well, then why offer?
It's a test. It's
feels
a test.
So yeah, it's phony. Exactly. So
that right there, I think, is a test of manhood, right there.
You need to have. You need to have. Yeah, you need to have a podcast where you interview thousands of women and ask them. Okay, this is a scenario. You go out with a guy on the first date. And he wants your half of the money. What do you do? Do you ever see him again? Invariably, I bet you 99% of them are going to say, "Hell no, I'm not seeing that guy again."
That says that's an impression right there. That says a lot for the man on his behalf.
Isn't that interesting?
It is.
It is.
So that it's still ingrained in us.
Yeah, there's so much undiscovered in there.
But then as time goes on, of course, there are women who eventually probably do make more money and do pay for the meals. But then there are some cases where the man doesn't make as much money and still would pay for the meal.
It's very emasculating, though.
Yeah, it would feel a little bit weird. I'm not going to lie. There's times where, you know, I've had my lady pay for the food.
Like, oh my word!
After a long time of being together,
and it's not about what's right or wrong. It's just about what you feel inside. You feel that little like,
oh,
right,
yeah,
in your stomach when something outside of what is
the norm, I guess,
supposed to be.
Yeah.
Well, but you're tapping into the many, many thousands of years of reptilian DNA that's in there. It's coded on us, just like it's coded on you for certain behavioral things. And it's whether we're aware, it can verbalize or not. It's there, and it comes out in those situations.
You feel it deep inside your stomach.
It's there. It's still you're still walking around with it. It's caveman.
Yeah,
shit.
And I don't really think there's anything wrong with it, whether you pay or you don't pay.
There is something the matter with it, though, especially.
Do you think?
In the very beginning, you know it too. Yeah, there's got it. There, I think there always will be.
Hmm.
You're never gonna. I would be so interested to hear of a first date where the woman paid and that relationship ended up working.
Isn't that horrible?
From all the friends,
what does that have to do with love?
I think it has something to do with it.
You think it has something to do with it?
Eventually turns into love.
This started out as survival. Love wasn't a part of it, how we all got together as man and woman. It was just about survival. You needed each other to survive, to procreate, to keep the species going. There's no love involved. So
yeah.
That was a necessity.
That's not anymore, though.
No. Well, and then that's a whole other topic of what love is.
What we do now on first dates.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no such thing as survival no more.
That's right. The last myth... Which, you know, listen, myth may be true or false. Who knows? It depends on what you align to. But if your lady was being screwed with, do you feel like you have to threaten the guy? Or if the guy, like, do you feel like you have to fight?
Oh, yeah. If anybody harmed or did anything, that is a natural thing for me right away. I probably wouldn't even think. How do you feel, Tommy? Wouldn't you do the same thing?
Yes, but it depends on the situation because I need to, and I think that's something that age has maybe clarified a bit for me. It certainly depends on how that event is taking place, but also you got to tap into is it really that you are fearing for your girl's life in that situation? Not life, but
I see what you're saying.
Or is it your own ego? Because how are you going to look to everybody else if you don't
exactly.
do that?
No, I understand what
you mean. So what is it that motivates you to intervene in that thing?
And there are situations where I feel like, I mean, with my lady, she's a tough girl, so I could stand back and know that she could definitely defend herself if she had to. But if it was a situation where I felt that it was a threat to her, that's where I think.
Oh, there's no question about it.
I agree with you. I definitely 100% agree.
I mean, in my case,
most men would want to jump in just to prove their masculinity.
Yeah, and that's where it's going to be a bit dicey. What's the real motivation? But in my case now, if Katrina saw something, and this is very emasculating, if she saw something happening with me and some guy was giving me shit. She would probably just get right in there and get right in the guy's face. No, stop. You got to slap.
She'd probably kick
this.
His butt before you even had a chance.
Before you could even turn around.
Oh, my God. No.
I wouldn't even know about it. She would gaze across the room. She would think, oh, I think that guy looked at you wrong. So I'm on his way to the bathroom. I'm going to go trip him up and shove his face in the fucking wall.
Oh, man. I know. It's so embedded, right?
Maybe you're right. Maybe you were a man.
Either that, or I just think it's the evolution of, instead of me cooking and taking care of the nest,
That doesn't mean a woman is not tough, cooking and doing all that.
I think some women are tougher. Oh, I think women are way tougher than men.
Yeah. Women are way tougher.
Women have to have children, so there's something definitely inside them that is much stronger than men. Yeah. Men are physically, yes, in most cases, bone-wise, physically, yeah, we're stronger women in that sense. But if you think women have to have children, a man can't have a child. A woman has to bear children at a point in her life. Mm-hmm. And the strength that has to take is something a man would never understand.
Well, it also makes you a god because you can spit life out of your body. I mean, that's
and then heal after that.
That's right.
You have to heal after that. A human is coming out of your body.
Isn't that nuts?
And then woman, you just carry on with your life.
Yeah.
You're like a mutant, like Wolverine. All of a sudden, just...
It's totally Wolverine.
It just tightens up again, like
it's
nothing
amazing.
Happened. It's a pretty amazing thing.
It's amazing. And just think about what you just said, because it made me think, when women are pregnant with girls, they have that feminine energy, and then they come out, and the women are seeking that balance with the male energy. But boys, they start out with the woman energy. And they innately, they come out, and they have this feminine connection. And then what has to be cultivated is this initiation into manhood, which does have everything to do with the death of boyhood. And maybe we do have things in this culture that are doing that.
And we're just all blind to it
because we're not talking about it. Maybe there are rituals. Maybe there are tons of things going on that we don't even know about. I don't know if they knew, you know, in New Guinea that this was a ritual. That was just what they did. I have no idea if they called it initiation in their language.
Part of their culture.
I think it's interesting for men in particular to tap into that wounded place in themselves, that place where there might be some grieving, whether you had a father, he was absent, you never had a father. You had a father that worked all the time. Your father passed away. And just questioned and got curious as to what in life gave you the direction of being a man. And it might be that you got a job out of college and you went to work for a corporation and they're parenting you. I mean, we're looking at this through a mythological lens now. But it's an interesting thing as a woman, for me, to look at men who seem like a completely different animal altogether in every way, from at least my lens, and to think that we just are watching you guys go on with life, and I would like to know what those current rituals are. I'd like to know you're caring for yourselves. I'd like to know that you're cultivating self-love so that when you meet younger boys, you're understanding your responsibility as men in our culture. If you didn't get it yourselves, how to do it now? I think that's really important. We can't just complain about parenting and complain about the kids today and Facebook and musical and all these things. We can't just sit here and complain about it and do absolutely nothing. If you weren't involved with any older men in that sort of sense of, you know, being initiated or just sitting there not speaking at all, you have a chance now to do that for somebody younger. Or, like I said, to go and volunteer at a veteran clinic. Or there's so many places where there are older men that you know are safe, you know, where they're checked out and they're like I'm not saying go on the internet and look for older men, of course. I'm not saying that. But you got to identify that in yourself first. Because that's what women are doing. I know I'm doing it. You know, just rediscovering and how to retune yourself, how to retune your male energy and your female energy. How do you do that? What do you do? Maybe it's the ocean. You know, it's something, though. And I think rather than sitting here and complaining about whatever and what could be bad and what could be great, we just don't know anything. But we do know that whatever we need is contained within ourselves. That choice to make to go and be with your elders or to reach out to other men, even if you're the elder now and you're going to reach out to younger men, that's your choice. So anyway, the myth of man. If you guys have anything more to say about it, I'm definitely interested.
No, it's definitely a great subject.
There's so much that I didn't say because I just don't have the education on it, but I'm really interested in it. And if you guys come up with any more stuff, just let me know. But I want to thank Adam Elzaru and Tommy Stewart for joining Zooming in the Lens podcast. And if you want to find us, we're at functionalyogaonline.com. We're also at facebook.com/functionalyoga. And we'll see you really soon. Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
Music and editing for Zooming in the Lens podcasts and Imprecise Storytelling series by Ian Hatton. For more information on Ian, go to www.ianhatton.com. We'd love to have you involved in the conversations. If you have topic ideas, please write to zitlcourse@gmail.com. For more information, you can go to functionalyogaonline.com, and to automatically get every new episode in real time, make sure you subscribe to Zooming in the Lens podcast on iTunes. Thanks for listening.